Welcome to the Manny Podcast, episode 70.
70.
Terrell.
Yo, yo, yo.
Dude.
Gonna talk about this lump on front.
Yeah. Part do.
Do.
You're gonna love it. Stick with us.
Peace. Get American. All right, the simplicity of discipleship, how to be a disciple. First of all, we should note that being a disciple or apprentice of Jesus is a quite definite and obvious kind of thing. To make a mystery of it is to misunderstand it. Love. What a strong introduction for that, dude. There is no good reason why people should ever be in doubt as to whether they themselves are his students or not. And the evidence will always be quite clear as to whether any other individual is his student. Though we may be in no position to collect that evidence and rarely would have any legitimate occasion to gather or use it. Now, this may seem very startling, even shocking, to many in our religious culture where there is a long tradition of doubting or possibly even being unable to tell whether or not one is a Christian. The underlying issue is the tradition has always been whether or not one was going to, quote-unquote, make the final cut. And that has, in turn, often been thought a matter of whether God has, quote-unquote, chosen you, and you are therefore, quote-unquote, among the elect. Or else it is a matter of whether or not you have sinned too much, or are good enough. Needless to say, those would be difficult questions to answer with much assurance. Perhaps impossible to answer at all, because we are in no position to inspect the books of heaven. Yeah, I'll go ahead and keep reading. It would take us far out of the path to enter into these hoary conversations. But fortunately, there is no need. It is almost universally conceded today that you can be a Christian without being a disciple. And one who actually is an apprentice and co-laborer with Jesus is in his or her daily existence is sure to be a Christian in every sense of the word that matters. The very term Christian was explicitly introduced in the New Testament, where, by the way, it is only used 3 times, to apply to disciples when they could no longer be called Jews, because many kinds of Gentiles were now part of them. Now, people who are asked whether they are apprentices of a leading politician, musician, lawyer, or screenwriter would not need to think a second to respond. Similarly, for those asked if they are studying Spanish or bricklaying with someone unknown to the public, it is hardly something that would escape one's attention. The same is all the more true if asked about discipleship to Jesus. But if asked whether they are good apprentices of whatever person or line of work concerned, they very well might hesitate. They might say no, or yes. Asked if they could be better students, they would probably say yes. And all of this falls squarely within the category of being a disciple or apprentice. For to be a disciple in any area or of relationship is not to be perfect. One could be a very raw and incompetent beginner and still be a disciple. It is a part of the refreshing realism of the Gospels that we often find Jesus doing nothing less than bawling out his disciples. That, however, is very far from rejecting them. It is, in fact, a way of being faithful to them, just as chastisement is God's way of showing that someone is his child. A good master takes his apprentices seriously and therefore takes them to task as needed. Couple things in this first one. I think it's weird, Phil, that Dallas is one of the only people I've ever really heard say this out loud. I mean, I'm trying to think, surely in years of sitting through like sermons and things like that, people are like, hey, you know, judge the fruit by its tree. I mean, surely, you know, like I can't imagine, you know, like some of the preacher guys that have been around for a longer extended period of time not having said that. I assume they definitely would have said something like that. Now, the interesting thing is that that is rarely applied to everyone. And when I mean that, I mean like, you know, Joe Blow that is, you know, claiming to be a Christian person. Does he look like a disciple or does he not look like a disciple? In other words, and I love the way that he's talking about exactly how if we were in the Jewish culture walking along with Jesus right now, or any, quite frankly, any historical culture, when you're learning a trade or a thing, you are a disciple of a teacher teaching you that trade, right? So exactly the same concept here. If you were learning, you know, like if we are studying under Francelia to learn Spanish, like it's going to easily be like, no, Francelia is teaching us Spanish, right? For those of you who don't know, that's my aunt. And so that's exactly what he's talking about here. A perfectly good concept. You know, if you follow, you know, if you read a strength training book, if I read a book by Mark Ripito and I'm doing exactly what he's saying, it's pretty easy to say, no, I'm studying under Ripito by how to learn to lift weights, right? Or if I've read him or whatever, I happen to be a disciple of his and you're a disciple of mine, you get what I'm saying? Like if I learn his strength training methods well enough to teach them to you, you then in turn become my student or disciple on how to lift weights. These are very basic things and it will be very evident. And I love that he's saying that this should not be a mysterious thing. It never should have been a question for people operating under the name Christian as to whether or not they are actual Christians.
Yeah.
I think we could talk a lot about this. I don't think we really need to wear this out too much. Because I feel like we have. I think we've already like addressed this quite a bit in this podcast over many moons. But what do you have to add here?
It shouldn't be a mystery, or it shouldn't be easy to misunderstand. It should be a definite and obvious kind of thing. What he's pointing out is, and that's what you're saying, is you're just repeating what he's saying.
Yeah.
However, it is a mystery in our day because it's almost universally conceded that you can be a Christian without becoming a disciple of Jesus.
Yes.
That's what makes... So he's pointing out a paradox, which is not really a paradox. It's only a paradox in our day because we've come to universally accept something that's untrue.
Correct.
That's the HSO here.
Yes.
That's the HSO. That's the part that is... I mean, if you understand it, it could possibly offend you or cut to the quick, as they say, because probably described your life. But becoming a disciple or student of anybody or any teacher, any idea, is really as simple as what you just laid out.
Yeah.
It's learning from that person, or it is subscribing to that idea to such an extent that you become capable of doing or teaching what that other person has taught you. So when you understand that that's what it means to be a disciple of anyone, of anything, you should probably audit your daily life, and I audit my daily life, and realize this is the inevitability of this principle, is that we're all disciples of somebody or something, probably multiple somebodies and some things that unfortunately aren't Jesus.
Right.
And that's just true.
Yeah.
But we live in a day where somehow there's been a misunderstanding and everything's thrown into this, oh, but I'm a Christian. You know, like,
yeah,
but I'm still a Christian.
Right.
And what what is being discussed at this point in this book and from now on throughout this chapter is that this idea, this paradox, is a very, very modern phenomenon.
Right.
It is not something that existed in the first century.
Right.
Like, it was very clear there. To the point, this is what he's bringing up, to the point where certain people could no longer be called, they weren't able to be called Jews anymore.
Right.
Because they were doing something so different.
Right.
They were learning and teaching and proclaiming and living a different kind of life than the one that could have been labeled Jewish. So they had to say, you're a Christian. The question is, and this is what's really remarkable about the New Testament, if you understand it, especially Paul, who was as far down the Jewish road as you could go. And for him to do what he then started to do is only explainable by saying he became a disciple of somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so this is why it's important to have this conversation.
Yes.
Because in our day, we can sort of get away with being like, yeah, I mean, I've got no like discernible or definable characteristic about my life that could have ever pointed anybody to the fact that I'm a disciple of Jesus.
Right.
But I mean, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that leads to this sort of, the waters
guesswork.
Are very muddy.
Complete guesswork.
And this is what he's pointing out at the very beginning. Like, it's not we're not obviously here to say that we are able to inspect the books of heaven. But what he's saying is, like, it's not even as, like, you don't even have to get even that granular in detail. Because today, my point is that people say that they could be Christians without being disciples.
Yes.
Now, that's really the point at hand, is do you agree with that assessment?
Right.
Because that's what Willard is saying. Obviously, you and I agree with it. I think it nails our culture to the wall.
Yes. Couldn't actually say it better.
And
the words lukewarm Christian, we would have heard growing up.
Yeah, but that, and what Willard's saying is that's not a thing.
Yeah, are an oxymoron.
Yeah, it's not actually a thing. It's not a species that has ever existed.
Right, right.
Not in the kingdom anyway.
Right.
But we have grown up understanding that that's possible, and it's actually not possible.
Right.
Because what you should say is, what you should say if you're being honest is, I'm a disciple of somebody else or some other idea.
XYZ, yeah.
And like, I think the Christian thing's like kind of okay.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean you're a Christian, and it definitely doesn't mean you're a disciple of Jesus.
Right.
Because you couldn't live that kind of life.
Right.
Right? Why? Because Willard goes on to say, a disciple or apprentice is simply someone who has decided to be with another person under appropriate conditions in order to become capable of doing what that person does or to become what that person is. So there's your definition of a disciple. A disciple or apprentice is simply someone who has decided to be with another person under appropriate conditions in order to become capable of doing what that person does or to become what that person is. How does this apply to discipleship to Jesus? What is it exactly that he, the incarnate Lord, does? What, if you wish, is he good at? The answer is found in the Gospels. He lives in the kingdom of God, and he applies that kingdom for the good of others and even makes it possible for them to enter it for themselves. The deeper theological truths about his person and his work do not detract from this simple point. It is what he calls us to by saying, follow me. Obviously, if you're out there, you'd be like, that's a very truncated definition of what Jesus is good at. And Willard says, yeah, sure. There's a lot of other deeper theological points we could point out here, but none of it can be reduced to anything more simple than he lives in the kingdom and he applies the kingdom for the good of others and even makes it possible for them to enter it. So that is not an untrue statement. It's
pretty solid.
It is exactly what Jesus is good at, and that's the point. The point is now we are getting into the realm of, if I tell you what Jesus is good at, you should then come to the conclusion of whether that is something you value or not. Because this is the issue. The issue is you were disciple of that, of a person that you value them and what they are teaching and what they are offering to you. And the bitter truth is that most of us aren't really interested in what Jesus is good at.
Nope.
And so you need to come to terms with that, all right? Like, it's just true. And as a disciple of Jesus, I'm with him by choice and by grace, learning from him how to live in the kingdom of God. This is the crucial idea. That means we recall how to live within the range of God's effective will, his life flowing through mine. Another important way of putting this is to say that I'm learning from Jesus to live my life as he would live my life if he were me. I'm not necessarily learning to do everything he did, but I am learning how to do everything I do in the manner that he did all that he did. You couldn't possibly learn these things and be able to apply this what we just read, to your life unless you were with him. Unless you were interested in what he has to say about it.
Yeah.
Unless you are interested in just figuring out what his will is, giving yourself to him. And this is what all of us do. The point here is that if you're not interested in what Jesus has to say about it, it's not that you're some uninterested, neutral third party who isn't going to listen to anybody at all. It is that you are learning how to live your life as another person would live it if they were you. Just that person's not Jesus.
Yeah.
So you have to understand if you're okay with that or not. But we don't live in this world where you can... The offer was never the thing of, you know, you can listen and trust pretty much everybody else there is, but then you can still somehow define yourself as a Christian.
Yeah.
That has never been the offer. That has never been the invitation, ever. Even if somebody has said to you that's what it is, and even if that's why you've lived your life up to this point, which most of us have,
yeah,
just let's go ahead and burst that bubble again for the 100th time in this podcast and tell you that that's just not how this works. What's really going on is you are an actual disciple of somebody else.
Or multiple someones.
Or multiple someones. Somebody else is teaching you how to live your life. And you are emulating that person. You are implementing that person's ideas. And you are learning from that person or persons how to live your life as if they were you. And that's, I just would hope for everybody to actually let that sink in. And This is where he goes on to say, I have it underlined, and it's such a simple and amazing sentence. And it's only disruptive to us because of all the stuff we've had to wade through.
Yeah.
But he goes on in the subchapter of the whole of my daily existence mm-hmm. is the focus of discipleship. He starts by saying that my actual life is the focus of my apprenticeship to Jesus is crucial. I have that underlined.
Yeah.
Because that, again, folks, your actual life is the focus of your apprenticeship to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's crucial. You can't get around that. And this is, again, man, you love to point it out. I think it's something that has always stuck out to you because it's the truth. Is this confronts directly the deception, the false idea, the myth that it is possible to live a compartmentalized life.
Yes.
It just is not.
No.
And somehow we are really good at inhabiting that myth.
We sure are.
Very good at it. Where we think that there are certain aspects of our daily life that are ours, and there are certain aspects that are, you know, vaguely sort of God's, you know, like that's kind of his. I'm going to give about 15 minutes every morning to, sure. And this is the issue ultimately, long term, why certain aspects of like marketed quote Christianity are not benign.
Right.
Like they're actually dangerous.
Yes. They breed.
Will ultimately send your ass to hell.
Yeah, they breed categorism. You know, yes.
If we haven't woken up yet, maybe you'll get up at this point.
Yeah.
They're not benign. Like they're cancerous and they will ultimately lead to your destruction.
Yes.
And man, it isn't safe.
No.
It's not safe. It just isn't at all. Like, and you are going to be led down a path that is wide and not narrow.
Yeah.
You are going to go down a path of building your house on sand and not rock. Why? It's not a mystery as to why. Because it's just not Jesus, man.
Yeah.
It's not Jesus.
Well, your actual life is not the focus of apprenticeship. Like, apprenticeship is set aside for specific times, places.
Right.
And people.
Yeah. Devotions.
Yeah.
Things like that. And this is why he goes into
when those things are included, and he's about to go over that. Those things are included, of course, because they're part of your...
Yes, but like, it's this...
There's no separation.
No, man. And this is the danger. This is why people get thrown into the meat grinder of vocational ministry and all this crap is because we've grown up believing that that's actually a category and it isn't.
Right.
Well, it isn't.
Like he says, knowing this can help deliver us from the genuine craziness that the current...
Oh my God.
That the current distinction between full-time Christian service and part-time Christian service imposes on us. For a disciple of Jesus is not necessarily one devoted to doing specifically religious things as that is usually understood. That's an important little portion of that sentence as well. To repeat, I am learning from Jesus how to lead my life, my whole life, my real life. Note, please, I am not learning from him how to lead his life. It's just such a strong situation.
It is.
His life on earth was a transcendently wonderful one, but it has now been led. Neither I nor anyone else, even himself, will ever lead it again. And he is, in any case, interested in my life, that very existence that is me. There lies my need. I need to be able to lead my life as he would lead it if he were I.
Yes. Can I just say something?
Yes.
Again, this, if you just start there, people.
Yeah.
This eliminates all the stupid stuff that is the chaos of our culture today of just the gender nonsense and the political nonsense and the all things that are literally nonsense. They're just nonsense. It all happens whenever somebody doesn't first acknowledge that God is who he is.
Yeah.
They are not him. They were created by God. Yeah. Therefore, should at least start by acknowledging that. All right? So that when you acknowledge that, you're able to then be like, well, then yeah. I'm a woman or I'm a man. Why don't I give that concept and that reality to God today?
Yeah.
Why don't I start with that? Because that's my real life. That's my real existence.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we would stop being just a bunch of dummies.
Yeah.
And or even these arrogant dummies.
Yeah.
Which is worse.
Yes.
It's worse to be like a prideful dummy, you know, who thinks that somehow they can call a shot that they can't call. Yeah. You can't, dude. Why don't you start off being okay with the simple fact that, well, like, dude, look, man, like, there's stuff we go through all the time. Yeah, man, well, look, like, I'm going to have to take some time off from training because my body hurts in certain places right now.
Yeah.
Now, you could be a dummy. And you could be like, I reject that.
Yeah.
And like try to fly in the face of the wind and call your own shot there.
Yeah.
Or you could be who you are, which is a prayerful man who's actually considering what's going on. I mean, like, you know what, Lord, like, yeah, this is what I got today, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to help lead me through this stuff.
Yeah.
And more than likely, He's going to teach you some things, and you're going to learn some things, and maybe it takes some time, but you might come out the other side not only more healthy and whole in body, but an actual disciple of his.
Yeah.
Learning from him what he has to say about the human body.
Right.
I mean, dude, isn't that better? Otherwise, you're going to go, what are you going to do? You're going to go search online for all sorts of other knowledge bases, and you're going to become a disciple of somebody else.
Yep.
And the thing is that what we're saying is not that there is no other knowledge to be had.
Right.
The point is simple. Is that true things are never going to lead you away from the kingdom.
From
ultimately the source of all true things, which is Jesus himself. So why don't you just cut out the middleman? That's all. Like, you don't have to make it weird. Just be his.
Yeah.
Right? And like, what we found is simple. Like, he's going to lead us to other men and women, most of them dead, unfortunately, who have followed him to a large extent. Yeah. And can now teach us things. Yeah. And we can learn from them because they were just learning from Jesus himself.
Yeah.
It's very simple, man.
Yes.
But like, man, this is we've wasted so much time and have participated in such a nonsense culture just due to the simple fact that there are so many of us out there who are just unhappy with what is actually reality.
Yes.
And therefore, we wake up and immediately try to manipulate that reality and immediately try to search for answers apart from the actual truth of like, well, why don't we just actually start today with what we have, acknowledge God as God, and see what happens.
Yes. Yep, not a category for most of us operating, for sure.
You know, so Willard says, this is disciple. I'm not necessarily learning how to do special religious things, either as a part of full-time service or as a part of part-time service. My discipleship to Jesus is within clearly definable limits. Not a matter of what I do, but of how I do it. And it covers everything, religious or not. But man, we just don't have, again, yeah, we most of us have never really been told that, which is weird. And then we don't actually we definitely don't believe that.
Right.
Because everything out there that has shown itself and has marketed itself as Christian is built specifically to produce people who compartmentalize their life.
Yes.
We've become disciples of that wrong idea.
Yes, we have.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And the other problem is that that's a pretty evident thing to see and to be like, to just break down basic, you know? But what's weird is that it's out of bounds for a lot of people with that stuff. It's really odd.
Well, because the reason why is because when you bring that up, like you're attacking their teacher.
Yeah, it's true.
And it isn't Jesus that we're attacking.
Yep.
We're attacking the cult of personality that's you
true.
Know,
yeah.
At the First Baptist Church or whatever. And that's why it's off limits.
Off limits, yeah.
Because but it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not fine,
no,
ultimately.
It's not fine.
But I mean, I that's the reason why. There's your understanding right. As to why that's occurring.
Yep.
You know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, well, I love that he quotes freaking Brother Lawrence here. Our sanctification does not depend, and Brother Lawrence is a kitchen worker and cook, remarks, our sanctification does not depend upon changing our works. But in doing that for God's sake, which we commonly do for our own, it is a great delusion to think that the times of prayer ought to differ from other times. We are strictly obliged to adhere to God by action in the time of action as by prayer in the season of prayer. Dude, I still remember the first time I read Practicing the Presence of God, dude. It blew my freaking mind.
Me too.
I know.
Me too, man. And it is a great, and we wholeheartedly endorse it.
Yeah, it's like...
It should shift your furniture.
Yeah, it should.
Because this is what he's pointing out, man. What a jovial man I imagine Brother Lawrence was.
I bet.
Well, and it, honest to God, it really did, man. It set the course for a lot of things in my life.
Oh, yeah.
To the point of being able to be like, golly, dude, like just the stuff that other people would never have categorized as special or religious.
As the most Christian.
Is literally like where my feasts are just as Christian as my fasts.
Yep.
Yeah, it should. It should disrupt your ass because it's true.
Yep.
And it's possible because there is no season of life where you're out of his presence.
No.
There's no point in time where one thing you do is more specifically religious than another thing you do.
Right.
It shouldn't be.
No.
It doesn't have to be.
No.
And whenever you live in this false dichotomy, you get a whole bunch of weird crap.
Well, yes, you
which
do.
Is all that we've ever known is a bunch of weird crap where you're like, no, no, this is what it means.
Right.
No, this is the true church.
Yeah.
This is the stuff.
How much time have we wasted on that? And that's,
it's
still wasting on that. And that's the thing is that today at work, that's where I am being discipled.
Yeah, man. It's either all or nothing today for you.
Yes.
And me, I mean, you know,
yes.
That's the truth.
I am being discipled by Jesus today, or I am being discipled by somebody else.
Yes.
It is happening today, all day long today.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 100% my choice. And this goes, and this is maybe an unpopular statement for some people and places, but this is true whether you are in a first world country or a third world country. This is true no matter who, what, when, where. You are going to be discipled and you are choosing that teacher-student relationship today, all day long. And guess what? That means at work. That means when we're lifting weights later. That means when we're having a gin and tonic and a cigar, right? Because all that stuff is discipleship or it is not discipleship. Like JC's either a part of that or he's not.
Yeah.
And if we're doing those things in a manner that he has no right to be involved in and that we're not, that we don't have a comfort level to involve him or invite him into with us and alongside of us because of the way that we do it, guess what? You've learned that from somebody else. It's time to relearn under the tutelage of Jesus, right?
Yes.
And essentially, that's exactly what we're saying.
It's exactly what
if you've created categories that are not part of discipleship to Jesus, and you want to be a disciple of Jesus or a Christian person, then it's time to allow him to teach you to rethink those things in the light of the kingdom available now and him being the sole authority in that kingdom.
Yes. Yes. I want to read this... this last paragraph, which I have absolutely every sentence underlined.
Right.
Because, yes, it will say again what you just said. Willard writes, "It is crucial for our walk in the kingdom to understand that the teachings of Jesus, which we have been examining at such length in this book, do not by themselves make a life.
Mm.
They were never intended to. Rather, they presuppose a life." This is, again, the idea of the fact that we live now because of the resurrection from the dead. All right? Because of the new covenant. We live... There is a presupposition to existence now. And most people don't ever get this. And this is why you keep living an old kind of life. An old covenant kind of life. A lawful kind of life. You know? And you never get past it. To a point where a man died and he's no longer dead and now is head of all things. And I am somehow, by his grace, and it's a great mystery, Paul says, a part of his body now. Okay? That changes some things, and that is the presupposition upon which our life is built. It is not a It is not the formula for a life. It is the presupposition for a life. And that is a completely different thing. And I don't feel like I'm explaining that well enough.
Yeah.
But I pray to God that you get it. Because if you don't get it, this is the difference between the fact that now we seek to find.
Yes.
We don't work to earn. This is the difference between...
I think what would be the most helpful real quick before we get off of this is, what do you mean by presupposition?
It means that there is something that is available now for everybody via, like, this is the in Christ that Paul talks about. In Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, we have forgiveness. This is as concrete of a thing that exists, whether you believe it or not, that is there. It is the kingdom. It is the Trinitarian reality, okay? That now, this is not, Jesus didn't die and is now alive and is now mediating His new resurrection to life to us via the Holy Spirit in real time in order to build it's not the formula for a new life.
Right.
Everything that we experience today at you at work, being discipled by Jesus, like, that doesn't exist apart from it already existing, if that makes sense. Like, you were just participating. It's participation.
Right.
This is where the word participation actually encompasses all of this, okay? All right. That causes no problem, of course, for each one of us is already provided a life.
Right.
Automatically. And this is what we were saying earlier. You are who you are, you know? You have the body you've been given. That's where you start, okay? And we know exactly what it is. It is who we are and what we do. It is precisely this life that God wants us to give to Him. We must only be careful to understand its true dignity. To every person, we can say with confidence, you, in the midst of your actual life there, are exactly the person God wanted. This is not some feathery, wispy, like, you know,
yeah.
You be you. That's not what's happening here.
No.
What he's saying is, oh, good, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand for you too.
Yes.
Right here, right where you are, and your gender-confused, chaotic life, guess what? God can handle that as well, but you're going to have to give exactly that one to Him today and become His disciple exactly where you are. And that's the point. The point is that He is so transcendently real and so transcendently powerful and so transcendently great, and the kingdom of the heavens is so transcendently at hand right now that there's nothing that will overwhelm it or be able to consume it or knock it off its course. Your life, no matter how messed up it is via the other people that have been discipling you, is too far away from you having the actual kingdom life today.
Yes.
The teachings of Jesus in the gospel show us how to live the life we have been given through the time, place, family, neighbors, talents, and opportunities that are ours. His words left to us in Scripture provide all we need in the way of general teachings about how to conduct our particular affairs. If we only put them into practice along the lines previously discussed, most of the problems that trouble human life would be eliminated. And that is true.
Yes, it is.
That is why, as we have noted, Jesus directs his teachings in Matthew 5-7 towards things like murder and anger, contempt and lusting, family rejections, and verbal bullying. This is real life. Though his teachings do not make a life, they intersect at every point with every life. So life in the kingdom is not just a matter of not doing what is wrong. I remember when this finally came across to me a very long time ago, and I wrote it down. I was like, dude, so Christianity is not about not doing something. Dude, it blew my freaking mind.
Yeah.
Because it was like, holy crap. Well, then that opens the door to, like, the horizons.
Yes.
Infinite now.
Yeah.
It's not about just like, because what was that? That was an old kind of life. There was a time before the resurrection when that was the approach.
Yes. It was.
Like when our teacher was the law, and, you know, it was fine. It was doing its job.
Yeah.
But it was never able to save us.
Nope.
And it was never able to bring us to a past the point of do this, don't do that.
Right.
It never was. But, like, now it's different. The apprentices of Jesus are primarily occupied with the positive good that can be done during their days under the sun and the positive strengths and virtues that they develop in themselves as they grow towards the kingdom prepared for them from the foundations of the world, Matthew 25:34. What they and God get out of their lifetime is chiefly the person they become, and that is why their life is so important. The cultivation of oneself, one's family, one's workplace, and community, especially the community of believers, thus becomes the center of focus for the apprentice's joint life with his or her teacher. It is with this entire context in view that we most richly and accurately speak of learning from him how to lead my life as he would lead my life if he were me. Fantastic.
It is fantastic.
What a fantastic thing that he wrote and that he explained, because it's great. And dude, like, what does that do but get you jacked up for the rest of the day? It just does, man.
Yes.
And I got all jacked up just now talking about the kingdom prepared for them from the foundations of the world, because that's exactly where we are at in Bible Pump tonight.
Yeah. It's true.
Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love.
Yep.
And we get to talk about that. And it's all this stuff.
Yes.
It's all this stuff. And you know what? Our 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 16-year-olds can understand it.
Yeah.
Because it's all, this isn't hard to understand.
No.
It isn't hard to understand, man, but we've made it difficult. We've made it difficult. We've made it weird.
Yes.
Because we've tried to market something that cannot be sold.
Yes.
We tried to package it in a thing that all it does is truncate it and remove it from the kingdom at hand completely. And, you know, it just is just unnecessary, man.
Yes, it is.
And we would hope that you would just, the life that you have, that you automatically have today, maybe you've screwed some things up. You know, I mean, we of course
probably
don't know
yep.
what you mean by that, but you know, you've probably screwed some things up. We haven't, but you have.
Yeah, we right? don't. You do.
Guess what, man? Give that to him today, precisely today. Yep. Give police work to him. Give, you know, business to him.
All the things.
Give all things to him. Give being a mom to him. You know?
Yep.
Give being a dad to him.
Yep.
Because that's actually your life. Give it to him.
Yeah. Yep. Today.
Yeah. Well, I think that's our cue, right?
Yep.
All right. See you next week.